pray for healing in the brain from every fall. I saw a ladder. Anyone that fell and the brain was affected, I pray for healing. 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 In the name of Jesus. Tonight I'm preaching on stories we tell ourselves. Stories we tell ourselves. And there was a family going on vacation to Aruba, and they had one daughter, and she was a teenage daughter, and they were so excited. They saved money, they got the tickets, they got the hotel, and they were going on a trip of a lifetime. But when they were sitting on the beach, suddenly the husband or the father, he got a text message. And the text message said, "When you come back home from your travels, I would like to talk to you." And that message was signed by his boss's name. And while they were on the beach, all the time he was looking on his phone. And the next, they were at dinner that night, and he was looking at his phone. And he was like, "What will they tell me? Will I be fired? Will I lose this amazing job? Will I stop making all that money? What will happen to us? What if I stop making all that money? Will my wife still stay with me? What will happen to us? Will we lose our house? Will we have to move? Will we lose everything? Is that the end of my life?" And their daughter was there with them at the beach. And she saw this handsome surfer with a six-pack, and he was there with his surfboard. Can you picture it? Can you see it? And she decided to go down close to the water. And the guy, he came to talk to her, and he said, "Hey, you're so beautiful." And they just chatted and talked. And he said, "Don't you want to go out surfing with me tonight? And now we can go drink something and we can just get to know each other." And the girl was so excited. She said, "Yes, let's go do it." And that night, she gave him her number, and that night she was waiting and waiting. It was 5, he hadn't texted her. It was 6, he hadn't texted her. It was 7, he hadn't called her. It was 8, he didn't call her. 9, 10, and she knew he wasn't going to call her. And she lay in her bed so disappointed. And she said, "I'm too ugly. Nobody will ever love me. Look at me. This guy doesn't want me. All the boys just play with me. They steal my heart. And then nobody loves me. Look at me. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too ugly. And this is wrong with me. And this doesn't work. And this and this. Am I ever going to get married? If I can't get married, am I ever going to have children? Am I going to have to stay my whole life alone?" And she's just like 16 or 18 years old. And then the next day, that handsome surfer, he sends her a message. And he says, "I'm sorry, but yesterday my phone fell in the water while I was surfing. And I had to get a new phone and I couldn't call you yesterday. But would you like to go out with me today? And she said, sure. So they made an appointment at 6. He was going to come and pick her up at the hotel. And they would just go surfing. And then they would just go have some fun and do. And she promised her parents that she would be back by 10 p.m. So she leaves. The parents are happy. And her mom is waiting. You know mommies. Her mom is waiting. 5 till 10. Oh, she's going to be back soon. Hopefully she had a wonderful evening. Hopefully the guy was a gentleman. He was nice to her. 10 o'clock. She isn't back yet. 5 past 10. 10 past 10. 10:15. And her heart starts to beat fast. And she's like, oh no. Our girl is not yet back. What happened? 20 past 10. And she gets nervous. She said, do we have to contact the police? What happened? Did he drug her? Did they have an accident? Did she drown in the water? Did something go wrong? Did he kidnap her? Did this, did that? And at 10:30, there she is. Stories we tell ourselves. Have you ever told yourself a story? You know, we are master storytellers. We are masters in it. We are the script writers of our own movies. And have you ever seen a movie? You have the script writer, then you have the actors, then you have like everybody all together. And we write scripts in our mind. But the only thing is that in your movie, in your mind, everybody thinks the way you want them to think. And everybody says what you want them to say. So there is no free will. There is no free emotions. You just have them say what you want them to say. And you have them act the way you want them to act. So in this movie writing business, in your mind, you are really everything. You're the movie writer, the script writer, you're the main character, and you're all the other characters in your movie. And then when your movie doesn't turn out, you want it to turn out, you're frustrated, angry. And so many times, we cause our own problems, our own suffering with what if thinking. What if? What if? And we cause our own suffering. With all the stories we make up in our mind. You know, and I was talking to somebody and I was like in my mind, this doesn't make sense. And I asked the person, are you making up stories? And the person told, because it didn't make, he said, yes, that's what I do all the time. And that's what gave me like, whoa. But that's what we all do all the time. Some of us think it, but we are not that in the way, we don't say it aloud like some others dare to do. But we have to be careful because your boss asks to speak to you, your teenager is too late, a friend doesn't return a phone call, and we instantly fill in all the blanks. And we create riveting scripts. What will I do then? How will I look after my family? People will think so badly about me. What if I I'll never get the job. What if it's not good enough? What if I can't get my words out? What happens if I make a mistake? People will think I'm stupid. I can't stop worrying. I hope. And many times, those stories are inaccurate and destructive. If it would, if they were still inaccurate, it would be still a little okay. But when they're inaccurate, many times they become destructive. They destroy yourself and they destroy the relationships around you. Because most of the time, we write stories in our mind about the people that are closest to us. And the stories in our mind that destroy others destroy most of the time the people close to us. Because we want them to act in a certain way, the way we want them to think and act, just like we've made up in the movie in our mind. And when they don't act that way, or they don't say the things we want them to say, it gives us anger, frustration, anxiety, we lose control. Are you causing your own suffering with what-if thinking? Are you exchanging truths for powerful lies? And psychologists say that 60 to 70% of all our mental chatter is negative. If we would start to journal what we think, the average person, all of it is 60 to 70% negative. Someone once said, I'm an old man and I have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. Let me tell you again. An old man once said, I have known many troubles, but most of them never happened. Why? Because they started to believe out the worst. But I want to tell you, where are the believers here? Where are the Christians here? As Christians, we don't start out believing the worst, but we start out believing the best. And that's what makes us different from the world. That's why our thoughts and our stories are different than the people in the world. Because we do not start out believing the worst. We start out believing the best. Yes. Listen to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, where are the brothers? Can I hear some noise, brothers? Amen. Thank you. Come on, again. Amen. I would say, finally, sisters, where are all the sisters? Whatever things are true, say true. Right. Whatever things are noble, say noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. And that is really what meditation is. When we have those stories in our mind, many people, they meditate, they write scripts, they even enjoy it. They have a passion for it. It's like finding out the secret, and it's like a board game, or it's like a treasure hunt. It's like something special in their mind that they're doing. But I'm telling you, that's not what the Word of God tells us to do. We are supposed to meditate. We are supposed to have stories in our mind that glorify God, that put God first, that are stories that are connected with the Word of God. What does the Word say about these stories? Oh, mine. You know, my child, she's obsessed with the Bible. Oh. If you read the Bible for her, she tell you another story. Sometimes I can read 1 hour, 2 hours, nonstop the Bible. If I give her an iPad, Bible, please, can we have Bible? More. And she knows the details. She knows the names. She knows the... I'm like, and her mind is like soaked in the word. Sometimes I'm like even tired. I'm like, can you imagine? I'm tired of giving, but she... And then when you talk about something, we're talking about, I don't know, we talk to somebody and they have an issue with someone. She said, and you know, Joseph, he forgive your brothers. You should forgive too. Like the word comes out like that's it. Then we are talking to a pastor and he has to arrange his, he has kids and a business and he has to have an inherit, he has to have a will and he has to have a trust and none of his stuff is in order and he's talking to him. And then suddenly she says, and you know that Jacob and Esau, they had a problem too with their inheritance. One stole the birthright of the other. Why is that? The mind is filled with the words. And the stories that she makes up, those are stories that are, yes, because that's what she's been thinking about. That's what she's been meditating. That's what she's like soaked in. I'm talking about a 5-year-old girl. That's what her mind should be. But because of all kind of stuff, we have let our emotions dominate our spirit. And our spirit needs to dominate our emotions. Because we are called to live by the spirit, not our emotions, not our flesh. And I had a revelation about this with our destiny. When she was 3 years old, we went to a church in California. And they asked the people to come to the front. They asked the people to come and worship. And there was a girl. She might have been her height, but she might have been 6 or 7 years old. You know, our girl, she's a giant. She stands tall among all the age of the kids of her same age. She's like a giant, just like her daddy. So she saw the girl, she told me, look at the girl. And the girl, I think 6, 7, she stood there like. Now she felt something. She told me, can I go to the girl? I say, yes, go. She tapped the shoulder of the girl. She said, lift your hands. And the girl gave her a look. Then it was a happy song. You know, Miss Robin, when Miss Robin plays, she look, you know, I am not a good dancer. Gee can dance, Destiny can dance, I can just scoot around. But when I hear her, when she plays, when they play here, it makes you want to move. It gives you a can, even if I can only just scoot, it brings the scooting out. She told the girl, dance, come, let's dance. It was a happy music. The girl refuses to do. So there were ladies on the front row. They wrote me messages saying, she went to the little girl and she laid her hands on her and she looked her in the face and she said, you are loved and you are very special. And then she said, and now you spirit of fear, you come out of this girl. And she hugged the girl and the girl stood up, smiled, lifted her hands, danced, and they started to run around the church. And the mother wrote us an email. The ladies at the church that heard all of it, they wrote us emails. The mother wrote me an email. She said, I have a different girl. Destiny prayed for her and something happened. Destiny let her spirit arise. And she moved by the spirit. 2 weeks ago, we were in Dallas at a church. She went up during worship and there was a lady worshiping. She just hugged the lady just like mommy does. Boom, the lady fell in the spirit. She was moved by the spirit. Now, we were in Nashville at Pastor Charles Cowan's camp meeting. We were preaching there. And there was another minister for the youth, and he had this beautiful 10 or 12 year old girl, and the girl had a ping pong pellet that cut open her eye. It wasn't looking good. She was crying, and the mom wasn't there, so I just took her, I hugged her, I loved her, and Destiny was crying, and Destiny was crying, and Destiny was crying. And when we went home that night to the hotel, Destiny cried all the way to the hotel. The girl, the ping pong pellet. We came in the bed, the girl. The next day, the girl got hurt, the girl got hurt. 2 months later, the girl got hurt. Can we please play for the girl? 1 year later, the girl, I said, which girl? The girl that was hit by a ping pong pellet. Something happened to her. She got like afraid. It shocked her. And every time she talks about the girl with the eye with the ping pong pellet. One moment, the girl moved in the spirit. Her spirit dominated her emotion. But in another situation, her emotions dominated. One girl, filled with the Holy Ghost, powerful, anointed. But because something came in her emotions, it shocked her, it feared her, and that did something. That whenever she thinks about the girl, the emotions take over. Oh, the girl! And the same is with us. If we are not careful, when we come to church on Sunday, we move by the Holy Ghost. Power, power, power. I'm strong. I'm a conqueror. I'm a winner. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Oh, I got this. Come on, come on, come on. Let's pray. Come on, come on. But then something happens. And then our emotions take over. And it's that moment when our emotions take over that we start to make all those stories. And that is when we have to take the remote control in our mind and say, stop. Now you stop, not pause. Because you know you can click pause and 10 minutes later you're back at it again. Or until next day you're back at it again. Pause, stop. Destiny, she clicked pause on the story with the ping pong pellet. She can still talk about it. Because she clicked pause and 2 months later she's back again. And 1 year later she's back again. But we are called to click stop in our mind. We have a renewed mind. And our spirit dominates. Our emotions. What we feel, we are led by the We are led by the Spirit. And the more you feed your spirit, the more you will be led by the Spirit. The more you take in the Word, the more you will be led by the Spirit. The more you chew on it, the more you meditate on it, the more it's working like stories in your mind, the more you'll be, it will be easy to click stop. And today I'm here really to help you recognize your stories. Because many people don't really know this mind game. And the devil wants you to like... You know, some people, it's like they're writing a movie. They're enjoying every part of it. But they don't know that it destroys them, the people around them, their health, everything. And stop jumping to conclusions. Because when you... start to conclude, think, when you start to jump to conclusions without having all the information, before you have all the information, it will give you anxiety. And you make false assumptions, unnecessary guessing games. And those stories can be powerful, and suddenly you're like in a rut of anxiety. Anxiety comes over you. And you just slide down that thing. Oh. But we have to have strong spirits. That's why thank you for coming on Monday, because you're hungry, you want more from the Word, you want more from God, you want your spirit to grow so that your spirit will be stronger than your emotions and what you feel. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it happens here, here and here, it's all connected. That's what they call the heart. I took it. You took it. You took it. Watch, watch, watch. And once, Ephesians 4:22-25. Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt. All this a part of the old man, living by the flesh, living by your emotions. Put it off according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we got to renew it. It says renew it. And you know, you need to renew it. I can't renew it for you. You need to renew it. I can't, but I can help you today to open your eyes and to have like a light going, oh yes, that's it, that's what I'm here for. But you got to renew your mind yourself, and that you put on the new man. You live by the Spirit, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, therefore putting away lying. That's what I'm talking about. Many stories in your mind are lies that you make up. Those are lies that you make up. And you, I'm telling you, people cherish. It's like a chess game. It's like, ah, this is my story here. And I'm writing a novel, or I'm writing science fiction, or I'm writing a horror movie, or I'm writing. You're writing them. Let me ask you, what are the stories that you write in your mind? Think about it. Whom are they about? How do they affect you? And today I want to look at origins of our thoughts. How come this person thinks like this? And how come another person does not think like that? And how come this person thinks like this and makes such kind of stories? And how come then somebody else makes total different stories? And how come you're married and your wife is making up stories about this and you think this is just stupid? And your husband is making up stories about this and this is like, what kind of nonsense is this? Because there are origins of our thoughts. Our thoughts come from where? The first origin of our thoughts is our family tales. How you grew up. You think, you speak, you do many things just the way your mom and dad do it or would have done it. Now, when I look at myself, people see me, they see just like my mom. She's just like her mom. Thank God she's amazing. But that is where we got things from, because we were like sponges when we were children, and our young minds soaked up every word, emotion, and action that our primary caregiver said or did. And many have heard it, you do just like your mom, you look just like your daddy. This my girl looks just like her daddy, and she acts and she gives love just like her mommy. Yes. I hear it every day. Uh-huh. But our family tales have something to do with our stories in our mind. Our surrounding environment left an incredible mark on our internal scripts. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. And those evil companions, sorry to say, could have been your parents. I'm sorry if you grew up with parents in dysfunction. Maybe their parents were also dysfunctional. Maybe the parents were alcoholic. Your parents were alcoholic. One was abusive. The parents were abusive. Because that's how the tale continues. How did your parents treat each other? How did they prioritize education, Jesus, work, ministry? How did your parents express their emotions? You know, I just talked to a pastor's wife not too long ago. She said that her dad, he never, ever, ever told her mom or her that he loved them. Never. He said, I told you the day we got married and you know it and that's it. It doesn't work. But that's the way she grew up. Now, what kind of stories will such a father give the wife and the children? Did you receive emotional support? Your parent, were they like your friend or a parent? Or were you the parent for your parents? Did they exhibit abusive behavior, emotional, physical, mental abuse? This affects the stories people make in their mind. And I do not know how you grew up. If it was messy, if it was good, if it was glorious, I want to tell you that you're loved, that you're special, that you're wanted on this earth, even though maybe your parents didn't want you. God wanted you here, and that He has a special plan for you, and that you are not supposed to live by your emotions, but you're supposed to live by the Spirit, and you're supposed to know that you have a heavenly Father. You have the best dad in the whole world. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. The best dad in the whole world is your daddy, God, and He's always with you. He's always there for you. We have the best dad in the whole world. You have the best dad in the whole world. He loves you. He died for you. He cares for you. He cheers you on. Go, 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 man. You're champion. Come on, come on. Even maybe your parents were never there to say, go graduate. Go, go, go. Go win. Go, you're champ. No, daddy God is here. Go, girl. Come on, lady. Come on, man. Come on, come on. But we need to be renewed in our mind. And we cannot take what our parents have taught us that was negative, or the way they expressed love that was negative, as something that, like a baggage, something that holds us and that travels with us all the time. And then you meet our sweetly anointed sister, and she's so sweet, so anointed. We love you, Miss Denise. I love you. And then somebody else comes and sings here in the choir, and Miss Denise gives them like a look. Oh. And then you interpret that look. A small look, a small action. Somebody's tired. Somebody's just something small. You interpret it and you make a giant, humongous deal about it. And it blows up in your mind. It becomes a small balloon. It becomes a hot air balloon. And everything, you go up in the sky and everything you start to see from that perspective, because Miss Denise gives you like, and you're no longer going to come to the worship team. You're no longer going to come to church. You're no longer going to come do this. And you're no longer going to come do that. And you're no longer. Just because someone was tired and they just give you a little grin, or they didn't say hi to you, or they didn't hug you, or they didn't appreciate you, or they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And you blow up a stupid, small, nothing thing, but you blow it up, because you start to filter it. My mom did this too, and this person did this too, and it's like it becomes a balloon, and then it comes a hot air balloon, and you see all, you know how you look down and you see all that through that picture. Family tales. If you were hurt by your mom and dad, let it go. Forgive. release it, not for them, but for yourself. Don't hold on to those hot coals that burn you and that burn all the others around you, but let it go. Forgive. And it stops with you.
Amen.
Your children are growing up in a different way. If you grow up with a hard life, you got to live another life for you, yourself, your grandkids, your kids. Because if not, we just same cycle. But not with you. Because now you live by the Spirit, not by your emotions, not by you, by what you've been through. Not by the abuse, not by all the suffering, not by the neglect, but you live by the Spirit. And that's why we have to feed our spirit, and we have to remind it to us all the time. Because when it's not, like my girl, the word is, it comes out fast. Boop! She would drop it like. But sometimes when the word is so far, it's a, what did the lady say? What did that big black man say again, like last month? What did Pastor Ed, what did Pastor Gray, what did they say again? Now let me think about, let me look in my notes. No, it should be a flow in you, the word. We live by our spirits. The second origin of our thoughts is our culture. The stories we get from the media, the stories we get from the movies. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It tells us not to be conformed to the world. Where do most of us see the world? On TV. Thank you. Facebook media. Most of us would not really see the world in our house if we didn't have a TV. Most of us wouldn't see the world if we weren't on Facebook or the newspaper or I don't know or all. But the media stories influence all of us, and most of us, we don't know it or we don't realize it. And humans are storytellers. In the old time, they used to paint on the walls. You know, if we read the Bible, we are reading stories from 4,000 years ago. They kept the stories going, the mighty works of God going, and we're reading about them. So the stories are powerful. We in the Bible have stories of what Jesus did, accounts of what Jesus did, and that gives us the victory, the hope. Now, if we take a five-year-old, my girl is five-year-old. And in the next 20 years, you know, I don't let her watch TV. Let me first tell you this. My girl has a tablet, and I have a YouTube Kids app, and I add all the videos that she can watch. Bible, ABC, the parts of the body, the parts of the heart, numbers, letters, mathematics, English. And then she can play with it, and she thinks she's browsing everywhere, but she can only watch the videos that I put in, nothing else. So for all the mommies, grandmas, just a little hint here. Control the content. I control everything she sees, that she won't be exposed to all that junk. Because they say, a five-year-old the next 20 years, they say an average child of person watches TV 3 hours a day. 3 hours times 365 times is 1,096 hours of TV per year. 1,095 hours of TV per year times 20 is 21,900 hours, or 912 and a half days, or in 20 years, nearly 2.5 years of the 20 years, a person sits in front of the TV. Let's take that disturbingly high number and and multiplied by the number of stories a viewer might digest during a single hour of TV. Let's say that we have 15 stories in 1 hour. The advertisement, the story of what you're watching, I don't know. You know, 1 hour of TV gives you enormous amount of stories. But let's say it's 15 stories an hour. When a five-year-old turns 25, he or she will have consumed 328,500 stories, or roughly 45 stories per day. And I want to tell you that movies, stories like this, they unconsciously influence in a huge way. It's like a man that grew up watching Western movies. Anybody here that loves Western movies? Any man that loves Western movies? Oh, there you go. Pastor Greg, can you stand up? Can you, and Miss Phyllis come? Miss Phyllis come, Pastor Greg come. How does a cowboy treat a woman? Pastor Greg, show us how a cowboy treats a woman. Okay, she's in danger. What are you going to do? No. Yeah. 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 A cowboy is a we're from Texas. I know in New York you it's a different story here, but but a cowboy, he is a macho. He wants to have those muscles. He wants to, if my wife is in danger, don't you dare to come after her. I'm going to take that pistol out. You dare to fight with me. Don't you dare to look at her. That's him? Thank you. Thank you. Now, a man that watched cowboy movies, he wants his wife sometimes to be in danger just to show his power and how... But now this cowboy marries a woman that is like a feminist. Because what you see in the movies, in the media, we have all the power, women are not less than men. Come on, we have power, we don't need the man. I'm going to fight for myself, I carry my own pistol. And now she's seen the feminist movies and all the sitcoms and all. And then she thinks, you think that I am God? You're my protector? No way. I'm strong myself. I don't need a man that protects me. God protects me. I have the peace and the peace. And I can do this myself. What do you think? Now imagine a girl that grew up watching princess movies. I am a princess. Oh, my girl, she's a prince. You saw her dancing here. I'm like, she's dancing for Jesus with her dress like this. Now you watch a princess movie. The princess never works. The princess never gets dirty. The princess only wears her princess dress and she wears her special nice shoes and she's carried. Oh, the prince Charming dances with her, puts her in the bed. She gets kisses and loves. Oh, and a girl grows up this way, thinking one day I'm going to meet my prince. He's going to ride with me in a chariot, and I'm never going to have to do nothing, just enjoy life. Fairy tales, but that's what we feed our kids, that's what we feed ourselves, and it has brought expectation in our life, it has brought unrealistic expectation, it has brought certain kind of confusion about what life is really all about, and then you get married with somebody, and on the wedding day he says, oh, I'm I'm not going to dance with you. You want to dance? Oh, I'm not dancing. And she's like, he doesn't love me. He doesn't like me. Come on, what kind of thing is that? He's not my prince. And she wants to be carried to the bed. And you know how girls, we love it. We love it, man. Are you listening? Oh, let them sing to you. Yes, come on. Come on, Miss Robin. She wants you to sing. You see? How the media has influenced us in the way we see life, marriage, children, in the way we see church, in the way we see almost everything of our life. And when expectations are not met, it creates frustration and it creates anger. And many people have unvoiced expectations. And when you don't voice your expectation, it's even worse. Because in her heart, she says, he has to open the door for me. And every time he doesn't open the door, her heart goes, Not again. And a small, silly stuff builds up. And there comes an explosion. And people get divorced. Why? Because he never opened the door for her. So be careful what you watch. If my husband watches basketball and sometimes I knew that's about it. But if you watch movies, I sit on the plane, you look around, people watch. I look at this screen, all killing. I look at this screen, all horror. I look at this screen, this one is naked in bed with somebody. I look at this screen, this one kisses the wife of someone else. Adultery, affairs, fornication, witchcraft, horror, anger, war. No wonder how did somebody become the way they are? What are the sources of the thoughts? What are your favorite movies? Do they all have the similar themes? You need to check your expectation. And you need to switch off your TV sometimes. Guy was watching a basketball game. This weekend. It's like March Madness or that. And then they had this, I don't watch and I don't let Destiny watch. I let her sit somewhere else. But in the advertisement, they had like a huge, weird monkey. I'm like, switches off. Destiny shouldn't see that. But just in the advertisement, in the basketball game, they will just... Yes, pop it in, all the dirt. The next origin of our thoughts is the pain of the past. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting which is behind. Okay, forget which is behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So there is two things we need to do. Let go of the past and reaching forward. Letting go and reaching forward. We need to do them simultaneously. Because if we don't let go of the past and if we're not pressing forward and then we're just stagnant, it's easy to just go back to the past. When you have no vision for your life, pressing forward, it's very easy to always go dwell on the past. And everybody reacts to inner pain different. But we all have one thing in common. We've all been hurt. Have you been hurt? I've been hurt. If you're in church, you'll be hurt. Because the hurt people, and there's a lot of hurt people in church. Yeah, so if you've never been hurt, then come to church and you'll be hurt. Sorry to say. But I love this name of this church, Redeeming Love. When we come here, everybody that comes here should feel some redeeming love. The redeeming love from God, but also the redeeming love from other people. The love they've never received from others, they can receive it here. You're on assignment here. When you come to this church, you're on assignment here. And traumatic events that occur to us in childhood often leave the largest and the longest lasting scars. Since those inner wounds often take much longer to heal than a broken bone does, we learn to walk with a barely noticeable limp. And we went to South Africa one day, and you know, our ministry, we preach around the world, but that's not just what we do. We help a lot of pastors around the world that live on $50 or that live on $20, and then we can give them $50 a month, and then they don't need to have a job, and they can preach the gospel where we can preach it. Then we have pastors, they have no water in the village, and they're in a Muslim village, and our ministry with all our partners together, this church, thank you for your help. Thanks for always being generous. We so appreciate it. You know, we build a water well close to a small church somewhere in a village, and all the people from the village have to come and get water close to the church. And that's a way to evangelize. That's a way to reach out. So in ministry, we have a school in Senegal. It's a Muslim country. We bring kids there. We preach the gospel to them, and that's how the word gets out. So we have different strategies. What you see here is one dimension of our ministry, but we do many things. So we were in a church in South Africa, and during the winter, you know, when it's summer here, it's winter there. When it's winter there, it's summer here, because they're on the bottom of the map. So we had bought blankets for the homeless peoples that live like in a ghettos or shacks, and we had help for food every day. We paid for them so they could feed the people that live in the shacks, all the people that don't have money. So we had really helped them a lot. So that day, we were happy to meet the pastors. And when I saw the pastor's wife, she had like, if you say a rag, like the cloths you put on people, she had like a black rag on, and then she had like a cord, and she had tied her skirt together with a cord. And when I saw her, she looked beautiful, but she was all, you could see she had a heavy burden. She worked a lot in the ministry. She was like not taken care of. She was beautiful. God used her, but I was like, she looks wear out. She looks sad. She looks not taken care of. It was really so visible. You know, when you see somebody. So I told her, listen, I want to have a day while we're here, and I want to take you to the shop, and I want to go shop with you. So I told her, I want you to bring me to a shop. I want to buy you 8 outfits. I want to buy you 4 pair of shoes. I want to buy you makeup. I want to buy you a few purses. I want to buy something for your hair. I want you to have like a new wardrobe. She said, no, 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 no. I said, yes, I am going to take you out. I will surely take you out. There is no, no. You know, sometimes when people don't have a lot of money, they want the money for their ministry, or they want the money for something else because they see the big need. But you know, now my girl, she has the best clothes, the most amazing. People give all the stuff she has to her. That's the harvest of all the sowing. You see that? You see my girl? That's just in between. But you know, and she was resistant, but she decided to come. And I took her to a nice shop, and we were standing in the racks. And she looked at me and she said, Ilka, I can't do this. And I said, why? And she started to sob and sob and sob. And I hugged her, and I stood there. You know how I hug. I stood there in the shop half an hour, and she was just sobbing with me in the shop. And she said, I need to tell you something. She said, you came to my church, and when I saw your husband, fear came over me. Anxiety came over me. I became paralyzed. Something happened. And I said, why? She said, when I was 12 years old, I was raped by a big black guy. And when I saw Guy, It was like a flood of thoughts came back. It was, I relived all the horror. I relived all that pain. It was like something happened to me. The trauma was getting replayed in the mind. The drama was repeated in the mind. And it's not all the time. It's when there is a trigger. A big black man that is an amazing husband. He's a gentle giant. He's an amazing daddy. You all know he's amazing. But her seeing a man that wouldn't touch a girl because he was big in stature, she had like a flashback. And she felt that same fear and anxiety again. And that's what happens to many people. Someone says something, someone does something, situations happen. It's like people that come from the war in Iraq or Afghanistan and they were snipers, and now they're just walking in New York City and they turn around and they think there's a sniper on the building. And it is triggered. And those stories that are connected to traumatic events, to pain of the past, those are the ones you have to really watch out for. And those are the ones that you have to directly click stop to. Directly. You are not going there. I am not going there. I am loved. I am accepted. I am His beloved. And I live loved. I don't live like a victim. No, no, no. I don't live like an abused girl. No, no, no. I don't live like an abused man. No, no. I live loved. Stop the stories. Don't go back to all those painful stories in your life. The last time you thought about them, I'm telling you, it should be the last time. From today on, no more ever thinking about them. No more. A renewed mind. A renewed mind. Living love. The perfect love of God casts out all fear and anxiety. How do you cast out fear and anxiety? By enjoying His perfect love. Can you take a deep breath? Lord, I pray that the perfect love of God passes through these chairs and goes into their hearts. The perfect love of God that casts out all fear. All fear. All fear. All fear. In the name of Jesus. Stories in our mind, they give us loneliness. They can give us loneliness. When was the last time you felt lonely? The devil was working on you. Stories of loneliness. Stop. Fear and anxiety. When was the last time you had anxiety? Fear. Stop the stories, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And it's His perfect love that casts out all the fear. And many people, they cling to the worst scenario first. For example, you have a small pimple on your face, you look in the mirror, I have cancer. Yeah, the worst scenario. First thing, the worst. Oh, I have a pain here on my chest on the left. Oh, I have a heart problem. It's like always our mind jumps to the first negative conclusion first. You have to go on a flight and you think, oh, the flight is going to crash. But you don't know that flying is safer than driving. You Your child is not attend, cannot attend one of the Ivy League schools and you think my child will never be anything. No. A definition of anxiety is the perception of not being loved. And when we live not loved, that's when we will have anxiety and fear. But if we can just soak in God, you know, many times I get in bed and I like, God, I want to enjoy your perfect love. And I lay there, I just take a deep breath because, you know, I'm a love giver. I'm a I see myself as a distribution center of love. But I need to be filled with his love so that I can distribute his love. So me, myself, that's what I do. I said, Lord, fill me with your love. I want to enjoy your perfect love. Because we all need a huge dose of it. A huge dose of it. Stress. When we are stressed, that's when those stories go wild. Some ladies, when they have their periods, the stories go wild. Yeah, so there are certain things like some people in menopause, the stories go wild. Some people, when they have like a stress at their job, the stories go wild. Some it has like triggers. But many times stress, those stories give you stress. And relationships are the primary cause of stress. That's why the most stories you write in your mind are about other people that are close to you. Your husband, your wife, your kids, your co-workers, your boss, your pastors, people you work with in the ministry, people in the cooking department. I just want to say thank you, ladies, to all for all the food, for working on our table, for taking care of my kid, for the worship, for the team, for the greeters. You guys are amazing. Thank you. When you work in a team, the people you're closest to, then you're going to start to tell stories. She acted this way. She didn't say this. I didn't get the information. You didn't tell all of that. And the sequence of our internal stories are like this. We make up a story in our minds about another person. We fill in the blanks with scripts we've picked from a wide variety of sources. Based on that story, we develop an opinion about the other person's behavior. It's an opinion. And opinions are like our armpits. We all have to, and sometimes they smell. We make up an opinion. Might not be the truth. And then, with no new information, that opinion becomes our cemented belief. We interpret something, we make a story, it becomes our opinion, we make a belief, and that rock solid, though unfounded belief turns into a particular behavior toward the other person. And sometimes this can happen in a split second. It's like goes 1, 2, 3, poof. We have a behavior towards somebody. We read into something. We make an opinion. We make a belief, and it turns into a behavior. But we have to be careful. We have to, first of all, notice our stories. And today I'm just here to have a light go on. That's my goal. Because I cannot stop your stories. You got to stop them yourself. I can pray that God heals your heart, heals the trauma, takes away the anger, the bitterness, but you have to stop the stories. And I know she came to me today, she said, when you hug me, it's like all the anxiety and fear left. I'm like, I hear this all the time. Because I know that the love of God flows through me. And that's why if I hug you like a little longer, girls, don't resist, just go with it. Because I know it's healing, because I know what it does. Because I know that the love of God, that's what gets all that junk out. So the first thing, notice your stories. Second thing, control the remote of your stories. Turn off the movies in your mind and lay down those scripts. It is not easy for some people. After for 50 years, daily they have been working on the script. And now I'm telling you to lay down that script. Your pride says, no way, you girl. You don't know my life. You don't know. You not haven't been through what I've been through. Never, no way. I'm not laying down that script. I love the script. I cherish it. Yeah, they take ownership. And you have to lay down your pride. Forgive. Let go. Let go of the bitterness. Let go of all that stuff. That's junk. And it takes humility and saying, yes, Lord. You know, we sing that song, yes, Lord, to your will and to your ways, until somebody tells you, you this. Oh, who are you? Who do you think you are? Casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to cast down those arguments. 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing all those thoughts in captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that is what it means. Let your spirit rule over your emotions and your stories and your junk. Some people are really smart in those stories, I'm telling you. But you know what I'm preaching today is not an easy message. I make it funny and you know, it's not easy. It's needed, but it's not easy. The next thing, seek information. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Seek information to the stories you tell yourself. Don't continue to have a subconscious stronghold on your thoughts and emotions. Anxiety and ignorance are vacuums, and our imagination rushes in to fill the space. If you're worried about a spot on your face, go check it out at the doctor's. If you have a pain in here on your side and you feel stabbing and whatever, you think you have a heart problem, go to the doctor's and have it checked out. Some people stay for 5 years with a nagging pain and then they find out that there's something wrong. Sweetie, you should have gone to the doctor all along way before. You have had fear for 5 years. Some people, listen, we have seen amazing miracles, incredible miracles. Dead raised, sick healed, blind healed, lepers walk, lame people walk. But me and my husband, we get a doctor's checkup every year. Is it true? Some people, they stand in faith and they stand in faith and they stand in faith and they let that sickness go so far that it's too late. The doctor gives you information on how you can apply your faith. You use the information that the doctor gives you. And you apply your faith and you stand in faith for that information. But people live in fear and have anxiety every day over certain things like this. But because they've heard somebody that said, I have never ever gone to the doctor. And if you stand in faith, you'll never ever go to the doctor. People say that. And I'm telling you, I know some of them that say that, but they go to the doctor. But they don't want the people from the church to know that they go to the doctor. Isn't it true? If you're scared of flying, just go on Google and see what Google says about flying. It's safer than driving. seek information, and some people prefer fiction to facts. Because fiction is easier to deal with than real life. Their clouds, all their stuff, it's easier. Gain information from people. Because it will change the monologue in your mind. If you have a question and Ms. Denise knows something, go ask Ms. Denise. If you have a question and Ms. Marilou knows something about it, go ask Ms. Marilou. If you have a question and Ms. Rose knows something about it, go ask Ms. Rose. If you have a question and your pastors, you think they know something about it, go ask them. If you see a doctor, if you see a lawyer, if you go to people that know something about what you're struggling with and gain information. Too many Christians are ignorant in the things where they really need information about. I stand in faith, God will talk to me. Yes, he talks to you. But most of the time, okay, people tell me we are led by the Spirit, but they don't see that a pedophile touches their child. They don't see that there's somebody wrong at their house doing all kind of things. And then they say, oh no, we are led by the Spirit. And I'm like, you're led by the Spirit? Because people are not led by the Spirit because they haven't let their spirit dominate their emotions. And people have the silly excuse, oh, I'll do whatever I want to do. I don't take care. I don't care. I'm led by the Spirit. No, they're not led by the Spirit. That's just their silly excuse. They just put that on top of it. Many people are led by the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit. They are led by their flesh, by their fear, by their pride, by their ambitions. But seek information. Type it on Google. You want to have, I don't know, you need to invest some money. Don't go to the first weirdo that's trying to steal all your money. Check it out online. Check out that person that wants to take your money. People are collecting, I need money. Go check it online. Make sure it's not a scam artist. Check out information. We as Christians, we are not gullible. We do research. We look for information. We know what's going on in the world. We stand for what is right. Many people, they take advantage of Christians like, oh, I'll just, you just give me $10,000, you'll double your money in 1 month. I'm like, you liar, you're just stealing people. I've met those people, I'm telling you, in churches, they drive a big car, big suit, you think they're the wealthiest, oh. Look for information, do research. If you have a problem, research it. Ask somebody that knows something about it. We are all in one family and we are all here to help each other. And don't be proud when somebody tells you something that you don't like to hear. Because most people don't like to hear what they don't want to hear. But if we would be listening, that fear, that anxiety, those stories will be reduced so much. Now, if you are in a relationship with someone, show up, speak up, do some things. If you're in a relationship with someone and you have all those stories, so look for the right time, the right place, sweet niceness, and talk, open the conversation. Most people don't love to talk. That was a marriage seminar last year. We have our book about marriage. Find the right place, the right time. The right environment, sweet words, but talk about what you need to talk about. Some people, they're married, they make so much stories and they can't figure out their husband or their wife and they make a whole script. And you've never talked about it. Talk, talk, talk. Do you know that the stories we tell ourselves can trigger the outcome we're trying to prevent? Job 3:25. For the things which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Worrying that a pimple is a tumor activates some of the same brain regions and emotional apprehension that occurs when the bump actually turns out to be a tumor. Catastrophic thinking spikes the stress hormone cortisol and reduces our ability to react effectively. So that means if we have fear thoughts, our body will react in a way, it can become sick. What you think you have, your thinking can trigger that you have that. Your words, life and death are in there. I have to balance my message just with 1 minute. There are certain people that live by the Spirit and they know by the Spirit and they have stories that come from the Spirit. Okay? The Holy Ghost speaks. We get prophetic words. We get word of knowledge. We get word of wisdom. Today, I was not speaking about that. Okay? My husband, he moves in the Spirit. He will tell me one day, we're booked to be in the Philippines. He said, today we are not going to fly to the Philippines. I'm like, our word is our word. If we tell them we're going to the Philippines, we're going to the Philippines. He said, yes, my word is my word, but I listen to the Holy Ghost. We're not going to the Philippines. Okay. A few days later, on the news, there's a humongous monsoon. And Manila has flooded and thousands have died. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He will tell you. We got to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can talk to you. The devil can talk to you. Or your flesh can talk to you. Because Peter, one time, Peter, you know, he was a great disciple. He denied Christ, but he was amazing at the end. But he told Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. And you know what Jesus said? Get ye behind me, Satan. So Jesus called Peter Satan. So that means that the man of God was listening to Satan at one moment. And then Jesus asked him, who am I? The other said, you're this and that. He said, you're the Son of God. He knew he had a revelation about who Jesus was. That means he was led by the Spirit in another moment. And then Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Simon, there was a natural dimension of Peter. That's like a flesh and blood revelation. One time he was operating in flesh and blood. One time he was operating in Holy Ghost-inspired revelation. And another time he was inspired by demonic-inspired revelation. One man. Three times in the Bible. If he missed it sometimes we can also miss it and people can miss it. That's why you got to test the Spirit. But today I'm not speaking about this, okay? But I needed to balance this out because people say the Holy Ghost told me. Yes, he can speak to you. You know, we were once in a country. There was no rain for 8 months. I told my husband, the rain is going to come. The rain came. They asked us to go to the news. It was amazing. That was Holy Ghost inspired revelation. We got to move by the Holy Ghost. But what I'm talking today about is not about this. I'm talking about stories that we make up in our mind that are from our flesh and blood. And that we make scripts about. And those scripts, we have to lay them down. And we have to look for information because sometimes those scripts in your mind can be the truth. My husband having an affair, you have this feeling. Look for information. Check the telephone records. Check the credit card records. Check it out. You don't need to be the victim. If you have suspicion, go do something about it. Look, seek for information. I'm not saying just be stupid that don't do anything. No, do something about it. But don't let the scripts in your mind dominate your spirit that we have a bunch of weak Christians that live by our emotions, that live by our feelings, and that live by our own thoughts. Yes. We are led by the Spirit. I have a question. What are the stories that you make in your mind? Who are they about? How have they affected you? What is the origin of those stories? How can you silence those stories? Which ones do you need to stop? Talk to him. You have the remote control tonight in your hand, in your mind. The Holy Spirit is your helper. I can help you by sharing it with you. But you are not alone in this. The Holy Ghost is your helper. And together, you can stop those stories. And if you say, I'm such a storyteller, I want prayer. I want it really to stop. I want the perfect love to come in and heal every trauma, heal every pain, heal the pain of my past, the trauma of my past. I want to let go of the junk of my past. I want to be cleansed from all the junk that I've seen on TV, all the junk I've read in books, all the junk, all that stuff that I have that always comes, but you know, there's people, they have sex and all that pornographic, all that stuff comes back all the time to their mind. It's time to stop. Stop. So that it stops affecting your marriage. So that it stops affecting. If you say, I need prayer. I want to stop the stories in my mind. I want to let go of the anxiety, the fear, of the anger. You know, with men, many times, those stories, it doesn't come out in anxiety and weeping, crying and moaning like some women do. But it comes out in anger, rage. Suddenly, ooh. It's the same. It's the same origins. It's the same, just the expression comes out differently. If you say, that's me, I need prayer, I want to stop the stories, come on out and I want to pray. Come. Come.